Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, well. Thank you, folks in the chat room who have hung in there. Here was the situation. The lovely Sherry and, gosh, who else was it? Refresh me, BTR service. I love you, girls. Thank you so much. Ladies, I should say. Apparently, there was a situation happening, not with my phone, as was suggested when I wrote in the chat room, but the actual host call-in line. Yes. So what they had to do, finally, after going through some problem solving, was to reset the host call-in line. So, Sherry and Amy, thank you so much. I can hear fine now. It was a matter of resetting. Well, you know what? I might as well all get them on the line. There's Mandy, there's Sherry, and there's Amy. Y'all want to say hello?
Hi, Trish.
Hi, Trish.
Oh, my God. It was a matter of resetting the host call-in, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you had a false start. I'm not sure why, but we got it fixed. So, but we're going to figure out why, and so it doesn't happen again to you.
Okay. Well, now the intro music has faded. So it was because I could see when I went on the air that it said stream left, and I thought that doesn't sound right, and the countdown was not right either. So how often does this happen? So I can
not a usual occurrence. Like, this is the first time, probably the first time I've personally seen it happen. I mean, maybe I've heard of it happening one or two other times in 7 years. So.
Wow.
You're an anomaly, Trish.
Well, that's what the boys have said through the years. Well, you got to laugh because there's no other choice in it. All right. Well, if this is something that I won't be able to expect in the next maybe 7 years or so, this is cool. Thank you so much for working hard.
Trish, if it happens again, you better play the lottery.
Okay, all right, good. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Mandy. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Sherry. All right, cool. Well, look, here's what we're going to do. Shawn Michael Ray is coming up at the top of next hour. Bless his heart. And we're going to play an extended remix of a song that I couldn't imagine could be more fitting. Carolyn Malachi and Beautiful Dreamer.
Thank you.
Isn't that gorgeous? Whew. That is a 10-plus minute remix. Matthew Schell responsible for that little remix job, and a whole bunch of other folks he brought together for it. Actually, the breathtaking female vocal that you heard was Carolyn Malachi. Woohoo! Man, that is a gorgeous song. She was inspired to write a song about those folks, especially those with a childlike heart who feel less than empowered in the world. So she wanted to make a statement. The video is absolutely gorgeous. And we have to make mention of the folks that you heard on this. And it gets confusing because you'll hear Beautiful Dreamer on Carolyn Malachi's Gold album, and then you'll also hear it on a compilation or two from Matthew Schell. And if you want to know more about Matthew, this producer extraordinaire, mtsmusic.net, Armenian-born Vahagn Stepanian on piano, Trey Ely on flute, Devin Spear on guitar, Marcus Huber on bass, Jabai Exum on djembe. Woo! Yes, Matthew likes this beautiful League of Nations kind of vibe when he does his recordings. You've heard Matthew and you've heard Trey and you've heard the various folks that they've worked with through the past couple of years on the show. Carolyn Malachi, who is a tremendously internationally known artist, and hopefully one of these days we'll get a chance to speak with her. I know she's busy being all Grammy nominated and stuff, which leads me to the question. Maybe you saw the Grammys the other night, did you? Very interesting show, and I'm just going to keep everything real positive. Oh, look, we have to tell you, in the immortal words of the Gals in Charge Blog Talk Radio, apparently this resetting of the host call-in line is an anomaly. So you heard in varying stages Wes Montgomery, Emily Remler, Chris McNulty, Patrick Yandel, and Dexter Gordon. You heard it, but I did not. So if there's a way a little bit later in the show, I want to at least get back to Patrick Yandel and Chris McNulty so we can talk a little bit about what's going on with them. But we have about 15 more minutes right now on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy before our guest, Sean Michael Ray, joins us. Sean is usually in Atlanta. He's originally from Birmingham, Alabama, now living in Atlanta, but with his sister in Los Angeles. So he has been participating at NAMM, and he's making sure that he takes a break from his busy schedule, being the consummate bass player that he is, to talk to us. So we're going to be hearing lots of fabulous tracks from Overdue, his debut CD. Right now I thought we'd turn our attention to another one of those inspirational songs that Wayne Escoffery does so well, another guest on our show a few months ago. This is Color Spectrum from The Only Son of One on Hybrid Jazz, another feast for your ears. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz. Just have to let the birds and the roar of that surf just play out. Man, I love that song. And, you know, it's just so weird. I have to tell you this. I'm listening to Shawn Michael Ray's Overdue. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, where am I? Where was I? Because it's like that. And I told Shawn and he went, no. What? And I mean it. Listening to this particular project was like listening to, and I still will forever, listen to many of George Duke's project, because you never knew what George was going to do from one song to the next. He just freeformed it. He knew so much about different styles. He had so many styles in his head, but more importantly, in his soul, that he just gravitated to what appealed to him and what felt right to go from one song, you know, one song to another, and then to start with something that maybe was a theme and then wind up with something at the end of the CD that you thought, wow, that just sort of tied right up, didn't it? So is the story of Shawn Michael Ray, who has been a master bassist for a while, has played with some extraordinary people on the international scene, but remains this humble guy who turns out a song like Marley's Lullaby that you just heard. That is only the tip of the iceberg, but what a tip it was. Shawn Michael Ray is with us, calling in from Los Angeles, everybody. Hey, Shawn.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. We had some technical difficulties before, but they're all over just in time for you. Hallelujah.
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm actually doing fantastic upon seeing the forecast back home.
Yeah.
Knowing in Atlanta and in Birmingham. So, yeah.
How about that?
I think the right time to get to California.
You know what? Truer words have never been spoken. I usually don't look at the news, but last night, I love Brian Williams. I love the timbre and the reassurance of his voice. But the folks around him were freaking out because of these lower temperatures. So my old stomping grounds of Nashville must be getting hit hard, too. And then I heard Alabama and Atlanta and the South, which doesn't usually get it. You guys are getting it.
Yeah, they're going through it a little bit there.
Man, so how was NAMM?
NAMM was fantastic. It's always the greatest hang. I think the thing I love about it the most is the musician community is very small. Like, we think about it in terms of it being a large thing, but all of the guys who are players, we know each other. And guys live in Chicago, guys live in L.A., guys live in Atlanta, New York, from all over the place. And we're all so busy throughout the year, so this is the one time that we can come together under the same roof and see each other. And
that's
and
awesome.
We all love gear as well. You know, we're some gearheads. We love the new basses, the new guitars, the new keyboards and all that stuff. So it's like a candy store in there for us. But even more so, it's just a great hang, a chance to see everybody, you know, take pictures with your boys that you probably won't see again until this time next year.
So
it's always a fun thing.
Not to mention,
the weather in California is always good.
And isn't it true, you and your sister have probably talked about this, but isn't it true that around this time of year, in January, Los Angeles and environment there, a wide swath in California, gets rain, but you have been blessed to get better temperatures than usual.
Yeah, I mean they're basically a city in the middle of the desert here. I always joke with them about that. You know, Las Vegas, Los Angeles. So it's just like the desert. During the day, you have these great 70-degree temperatures, and at nighttime, it's like, okay, where's my jacket? it's pretty cool at night. So
yeah,
January is very mild. You know, like back home, yeah, you're not walking outside without a jacket during the day. Absolutely not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, my son and I have tentative plans to come to California in the summertime after he finishes up a very important class. So I wish you could just conjure some magic, Sean, right now and hold that weather for us until we get there. Can you do that?
For all the skills that I possess, I think I may be lacking that one.
I know. You know, this is so weird because I've told some people, you know what, you and I have really not spoken, but I feel as though I know you so well because we know a few key people in common, and one of them is your great friend, Eric Essex. So,
oh, yes, long time best friend, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what, because I love Eric so much, I feel as though I already have loved you, even though I've never talked to you.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It is awesome. It is.
But, you know, we actually have met, Trish. Yeah, I don't know whether you remember. Another good mutual friend of ours, Tracy Hamlin.
I do.
You played in D.C., and you were at the show.
You actually played. I know that. And I know that I've seen you, but we haven't really spent any time talking. And I know because that night when you were all playing, honestly, you don't know how much you and the band were the subject for conversation with so many circles as far as females are concerned, honestly.
Uh-oh,
and let me just say this, because that was one of the more attractive bands we have ever seen.
Well, and
Eric are just so bloody handsome, and your artistry speaks volumes, but it just so happens that you're very much, I'm just going to say it, the eye candy, Sean. But we did not speak, but because Eric and Tracy have said so much about you, I feel as though I know you, and here you are. You've been doing this for a long time. And Overdue is the most appropriate title for a CD ever, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It definitely fits the case.
Wow. So why is it that you waited so long? Is it because you were just so bloody busy with Maxwell and Sheila E. and John Waite and all the myriad of contemporary jazz artists you were playing with, or what?
No, I don't think it was a matter of me being busy. I just don't think I was in a headspace to be inspired to do a record.
Really?
And there was, I didn't feel any real pressure, but there was always a little bit of pressure playing shows with Eric, who has 20 CDs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then I look to my left, and there's Kelly O'Neill on stage. He has a CD. And I look behind me, and there's PJ Spragans. He has 2 CDs.
Right.
You know, and so when I would come off stage, you know, these guys would have their product at the shows, and people would immediately always look at me as like, okay, where's your CD? I'm like, well, it doesn't work quite that way. I can't just do a CD because you want me to do a CD. I have to be inspired to make that music. And so I guess just throughout the years, it took that amount of time for me to finally get in a space where I was finally inspired to conceptualize the whole project. I have 2 longtime best friends. Eric Essex, as you know, is one of them. The other one is Kelvin Wooten.
He's
an incredible keyboard player, producer for Anthony Hamilton, Jill Scott, all kinds of people. He was the catalyst for the project because he said he had a dream that we were in the studio and we were working on my project. He's like, man, we need to just sit down and do a record. And I was still kind of apprehensive at that point. I was like, okay. So what we did was we got together at his place and his studio, and I had an idea for a song that I wanted to do. Hair was the first thing we cut because I was always a Graham Central Station fan. And, you know, being a sideman, I never knew what I would sound like out front because I had never done it. So we just tracked the song, and after listening, I was like, okay, that actually sounds pretty cool. And we did another one. I forget what the next one was. Maybe the next one was Dance With Me. And I was like, okay, that sounds pretty cool. And we did the third song, which was Tell Me a Bedtime Story. And after tracking that one, I was like, okay, let's do a record. Because it was sounding better than what I had, anything beyond my dreams, you know. So it was just time to go ahead and go full throttle with it. And that's how we got the project started.
You really are humble, Sean, because, you know, you're just blessed with this skill set as far as owning the sound of that bass, which can take us anywhere as demonstrated. Oh, my God, you are so welcome. Thank you. In all honesty, this is one of those musical projects where I go back now and I listen to a track, and I've said this before on the show, but now this has new weight to say it. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Because usually when an artist joins me on the show, I play 3 tracks, and I'm thinking, what the heck am I going to do now? Because each one of these tells a different story than the next. Dance With Me, you mentioned that. That is the Orleans song from so many years ago. And I thought, he's not going to do this song, is he? And it just is so unbelievable. That was a lot of fun to hear.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, my influences are very vast. Like,
yes!
I mean, you wouldn't, like, I mean, I grew up listening to all of the funk, the obvious things that people think that I would listen to, from Confunction to Earth, Wind & Fire and the Ohio Players. Yeah, I listened to all of that, but my uncles had an array of music in the house that I grew up in. So there was Bob Marley and the Wailers, there was the Electric Light Orchestra, there was Led Zeppelin. You know, so there was all this stuff, and I was listening to all of it. You know, I was just soaking it all up. You know, on the jazz side of things, there was Stanley Clarke. That School Days record messed me up because I was like, I remember specifically asking my uncle when he played that. I was like, I said, that's a bass? Like, you can play like that on the bass? He was the first person I heard play bass like that. I was like, and it just, I remember as a kid, that just blew my mind. I had never heard anybody play bass like that, like out front and soloing and that kind of thing. So it was just a vast array of music. Orleans, I always loved, though. It's just great songs. Still a One, Dance
yes.
With Me, you know, just great vocal harmonies. You know, I know it wasn't on the R&B top 100, but it was still great music, you know.
And, you know, something that the folks who are listening, either live or later in the archives, have to understand, I just found this fascinating, and didn't I think of you in the past couple of days, because I found out who's going to be at the Maryland Live Casino on Valentine's Day. Guess who it's going to be, Sean?
I have no idea.
Well, quite possibly your favorite artist, Gino Vannelli.
Oh, wow. No, I should know that. I should be trying to make my way there. Yeah, that's my favorite artist of all time, without
question. That is so wild. And why is that? That just trips me.
Something about his music that just, all of the genres that I'm influenced by, from the funk side of things to the pop side of things to the rock side of things, his music encompasses all of that. And I think that's what struck me about his songwriting. Great vocals, incredible lyrics, like stuff that was like life-altering listening to.
Wow.
You know, like I can remember one of the songs off of Brother to Brother, where he says, if I had only one tomorrow, it would be a lifetime if I knew I could spend that day with you. And I was like, wow. Like, who writes songs like that? Like, I don't hear anything in today's music that even comes remotely close.
Mm.
So, and he's always been that guy, that pioneer that just blew me completely away with everything that he did. And so I said, if I ever did a CD, I had to pay homage to my dudes. That's my guy.
That's so interesting, because you made me actually rethink Gino, because he's taken some flack through the years, and you know what happens when somebody achieves a certain level of success. You're going to find some folks who throw cylinder eggs at them. You know, coming from Philadelphia, everybody is a joker in Philly, so... You know, we would hear the worst songs that ever were, or folks that you make fun of in the business. But the bottom line is that when I hear Gino Vannelli, I hear in him passion and hope and anguish. You can't convey that in a normal kind of artist. He is a breed apart, and I clearly see where you're coming from as far as appreciating
Absolutely.
Him.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Yep. So you're going to take the flack, because anytime you stand in the light, folks from the darkness come and grab at you, don't they? You know that's true, Sean. Oh, you're not even going to say anything, are you?
No, I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah. Well, and I say that partially because I think it's so cool that you have music in your blood, because your mom was a church organist and your dad was a bassist.
Well, she still is. She's still a minister of music at the church that I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama.
Wow.
And,
my dad still is.
Passed. Yeah, my dad passed in 2010, but
yeah.
He was like a monster bass player back in the day. Now, guys that are his age back in my hometown always tell me these stories, and like, yeah, man, you're okay on the bass, but your dad. I'm still living in that shadow. He's like, yeah, that stuff you're doing is okay, but your dad was like the guy.
Oh,
and the
my
funny thing
God.
About it is I never got a chance to really see him play or, you know, hear him play. So that's
really?
The weird thing about it. Yeah, so I
wow.
guess that was just a gene that was passed on.
That is something else. And you gravitated, how is this? A trombone grabbed your attention first, and I think that your mother was a little bit miffed because she got you the trombone, but then you saw Soul Train and life changed.
Yeah. You know, the trombone was just one of those things, you know, in school, you want to play an instrument, and you just want to play something. So whatever's available is what you go with. And then the band teacher said, hey, trombone. So that's the first thing I gravitated to. Well, actually, by default, I didn't have a choice.
Oh, I see.
And I enjoyed it. You know, I just enjoyed being a part of the band. I mean, you know, I love sports. I love music. So I just wanted to be a part of it. But as I, you know, grew up a little bit and started to watch, you know, at that time there were a lot of great music shows on television where you always saw live musicians or at least live appearances, even if they weren't playing live. So you had Solid Gold, you had Soul Train, you had American Bandstand. You had the Midnight Special with Wolfman Jack and all that stuff. So everywhere you turn, there was like a band on TV, always. And back then, the bands were like 10, 11-piece bands.
Yeah.
You know, lots of people on stage with full horn sections and everything. So I would always watch the bands, and, you know, the horn section would come in, and they'd do their thing, and it'd be nice and sweet. And then they'd move to the side, maybe do their dance steps or whatever. But the bass player is still chugging along from beginning to finish.
That's right.
And I would always watch that. I was like, no, I don't think I want to stop playing and have to work on my choreography while something else is going on in the song. I want to keep playing from beginning to finish. And that's what I told my mom. Thought that was funny, but that was the truth, you know. I just wanted to be involved in the music from top to bottom. And I just felt like being in the horn section, and there's nothing against all my great horn-playing friends, I mean, because I know some incredible ones, but I just wanted to be a part of the music from top to bottom. And
you
most
know,
of the rhythm, bass players and drummers are usually those guys.
Nobody has ever stated it like that before, because you are right. When we were watching those shows back then, it was live, and you had to be entertaining while the rest of the guys were steady playing. So
right.
There was a lot of choreography moves, and I can see where you might not be alone in that thought, and I wonder how many guys and gals were affected thinking, you know, I don't want to do no dance moves. I want to be playing up here and make everybody aware of the musicianship involved on the stage, not what I can do to show off my fancy footwork. Really good point. Hadn't thought about that before. Man.
Yeah. That's pretty much how I saw it, you know.
And then here's the thing about you that's a component of why you're so intriguing to me. You were able to master that instrument in such a way. I don't know how it got to be, but you have your handiwork stamped on movie music. So when we were talking before about you being busy, you really were. I mean, folks around you may have been turning out some musical projects, but meanwhile, you were working on The First Wives Club, The Ghost of Mississippi, Truth About Cats and Dogs, a Hannah Montana soundtrack. Hello.
Oh, wow, yeah. That Hannah Montana soundtrack is my claim to fame. That's my one and only platinum record.
Wow!
But the movie soundtracks were through my involvement with an incredible singer from Atlanta, Dion Ferris.
Oh, yeah.
In the mid-90s, I toured with her, supporting her Wild Seed, Wildflower album. And we were all over the place, you know, two tours of Europe, two tours of the U.S., Australia, Hong Kong, Japan, everywhere. And
beautiful.
She was on all of the TV shows. I mean, she was super hot. And as a result of that, she got offers for those movie soundtracks as well, Truth About Cats and Dogs, Ghost of Mississippi, and I forget what the other one is.
First Wives Club.
First Wives Club, right.
Yeah.
So that happened. The Hannah Montana thing happened as a result of a good friend of mine who lives here in L.A. He was living in Atlanta at the time. His name is Andrew Lane. And I didn't actually play on a song that Hannah Montana sang. I don't know if you remember the little boy band, B5.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a version of Earth, Wind, and Fire's Shining Star, and I played
on that. That's pretty cool, because wasn't one of your first inspirations Verdeen White from Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Oh, he was the very first.
That's wow.
The reason that I tell everyone, the reason that I play the bass is Verdeen White. That's the reason I want to pick the instrument
awesome.
Up. I mean, I've never seen anyone on the instrument have as much fun as he does. And as a kid, that's the way it struck me. I was like, man, does it make you feel like that? And I wanted to experience that. I mean, he just made it look like it was the greatest thing on earth to do, play the bass.
Mm.
And still to this day, he still makes it look that way.
Sean, hasn't it struck you through the years, because you've got real good instincts and a sensibility. Well, you're welcome. Doesn't it just fill you when you see somebody who plays with utter joy like that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the thing. There's a period in music, and especially one of my most influential genres, which is gospel, because I still play in church.
Yep.
But there was a time, and we still may be in that era right now, where guys just got to looking serious on the instrument. Like, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to smile. I'm going to look very hard and very cold and like a bad man on this instrument and just stand here and play. And I've never subscribed to that. You know, I think when you're playing any instrument, there should be this joy bursting out of you, you know, on your face and your body language and everything. I mean, because, you know, who knows? I may not get a chance to do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
All we have right now is this moment. And I wouldn't want, and if it is my last moment on the instrument, I want to enjoy it like it is. You know, I want to give everything I have. And I don't want anybody to ever pay 1 cent to see somebody that I'm playing with or to see me playing and feel like that guy didn't give me my money's worth. You know, I want you to leave there feeling like, man, this guy left it all out there. And, you know, and I'm a sports fanatic too. So that mentality, like, kind of comes over from sports. You know, when I played basketball in school, you know, we were always taught to leave it all on the floor. You know, whether you had a good team or not, just give it everything that you have. And so that's the same mentality that I have with the music.
You are right. There's a lot of great musicianship here in Baltimore and in D.C. and up the road in Philly. And there's a particular artist that I absolutely love in Baltimore. And he is brilliant beyond words, but so dour on stage. I've said to him a few times, don't you be acting like this ain't a gift. You have a gift. You better act like it is. You know?
I totally get it. I totally get it.
Oh, come on. I mean, people just don't have this kind of musical ability. When you have it, you should be overjoyed because you are enabling people to actually heal from within, because they can't articulate what's wrong with them. But sometimes you playing can make sure that that's the cure. You've seen it.
Yes,
you felt it.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, along
it's
those lines.
To,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say it's a hard thing to describe to people, you know, because often I have people ask me, you know, when they see you with your eyes closed or you're making faces or whatever, like thinking about. And it's actually a very hard thing to describe. It's a moment of euphoria. You know, it's almost like an outer body experience. And I wish I could convey it to people when they ask. It's kind of hard to explain. But it's the thing that keeps us coming back. It's like a healthy drug. You know, it's like a healthy
yes.
drug that you have to go back and get it again. You know.
And the truth is, when you first gifted me with Overdue, the first song I heard gave me that high, and I have never come down. Arms Wide
awesome.
Open. No, listen, Arms Wide Open is one of my favorite songs of all time now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, let me give you a little background about that song.
Go
a great
ahead.
Friend of mine. And I hope she's listening. Her name is Ginger Davis. She lives in Atlanta. She's a very talented vocalist and drummer and songwriter. So we're talking one day. You know, this project took place over 2 years. So when I first began working on it and she got the buzz, we were talking one day. She's like, oh, you're working on a project? I got some songs that I want to pitch to you.
Oh.
Like, yeah, right, Ginger. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, so... You know, I mean, I had no idea what level of songwriter she was at the time. So she sent
wow.
me about 3 songs, and I get them in my inbox, my email, and I listen to a couple of them. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that one's cool. And we get to Arms Wide Open, and I hear that melody, and I was like, oh, my God.
Mm.
I was like, this one right here, Ginger, I definitely want to do. So we kept the melody intact and the lyric, which is a very short lyric. But Kelvin Wooten and myself, we rearranged the song, so it didn't sound like that initially from her track, but that is her haunting melody there. When I heard that melody, I was like, yeah, and the bridge where I take the fretless bass solo, that's her bridge too. That was in the song. So we just rearranged it and put our flavor on it, but it was a great song. You know, that's written by Ginger Davis. She's, you know, I give her the credit for that one. And we just... try to put our spin on it.
And tell folks about the vocalist here, because that was mind-blowing when you told me about her.
Now, her name is Kayla Wheeler, but she is an artist in her own right, and she has a CD that's on iTunes, but her stage name is Halo, H-A-L-O, Wheeler. And she is... I know she's 16 because I just saw a Facebook post the other day about her getting her driver's license the other day.
So oh, my God.
Sure, she was excited about that. But at the time of the recording, she was 15 years old, and she's just she's beyond her years as a vocalist. There's a couple of young vocalists on the record, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but she is one of them, and Kelvin Wooten, the producer on the record with me, one of the producers, his daughter, 14 years old, did all the vocals on the song Overdue. That's her doing every vocal. So there's some young phenoms coming up there.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, whatever the circumstances of the recording session, this particular occasion or a couple of occasions, all I kept thinking of, and I won't delay in this because people are going, okay, play the doggone thing. And I am. But seriously, It just felt like God was in the room when I heard this.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, it was a very spiritual experience when this is just Kelvin and myself working on this. We had, before Little John Roberts added his incredible drum parts, we just had dummy drums up. So the only two musicians in the room were the two of us. And there were times where we just stopped and looked at each other like, wow. What's going on here? So there's definitely some anointing going on in the room. And Kayla, and I'm sure it's like this for any musician. When you hear a piece of music, it makes you feel a certain way. You know, when I hear a piece of music, it makes me play a certain way. So I'm sure for a vocalist, the same is true. When you hear a piece of music, it makes you sing a certain way.
Mm.
So the way that song sounded, Kayla immediately heard it. And she went where she went on the song, her ad-libs and everything. Pretty much didn't have to say anything to her, you know, just gave her a little bit of direction. But she's pretty amazing anyway, so she's a natural.
Well, this is the best four-letter word in the English language is holy, and this is what this is.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yep.
Thank you, Trish.
Hold on. We're going to play this track. Shawn Michael Ray is with us from Overdue, and this is Arms wide open on Hybrid Jazz. I've heard that song about a dozen times, and each time I get emotional.
it moves me when I listen to it, you know, and sometimes I feel a little guilty. I'm like, man, am I vain? I'm listening to my own music. But it sounds good.
Well, and you know, I have to tell folks that, the full name of that is Arms Wide Open, Jesus is Waiting. So that's part of the reason why we get so emotional. Woohoo! Because,
yeah, I wanted to make sure that people weren't feeling that I was talking about a woman was waiting with her arms wide open or a man was waiting with his arms wide open. So you need to specify that on the phone.
Well, thank you for clarifying on both ends of the spectrum. Oh, my gosh. And you know, when that song, I mean, because when was it that Overdue came out, Sean?
November 8th, 2013.
Right. So we lost a lot of people in 2013.
Yes.
So when that song came to my ears, I was done. Because, you know, especially with George Duke, who I love beyond
words could say.
And to know, to absolutely know that he was being met by Corrine and those that were of a strong spiritual bent before him, like these gates were opening and Jesus was waiting. Well,
that's what the song is about.
Yeah.
And not just through the great people that we've lost, but even the people that are here on earth right now. Because
yes.
We have people on earth that are suffering and going through different things in their lives and, you know, probably having suicidal thoughts and struggling. But, you know, his arms are wide open right here, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that is very true. And thank you for putting that addendum piece into it. That's real important because, you know, folks have such high anticipation at the beginning of the year. Okay, I'm going to start over. Things are going to be okay. And here it
right.
is.
Right.
It's January 28th, and you know, all of a sudden there are some going, not quite what I had in mind, and the holiday season is over, and you really want to keep that momentum, but these have been downright hard times for people, and some folks have not made it through. So
I agree.
It's really beautiful. God, please tell Halo that I love her even though I've not met her.
I did already. It's funny that you say that because you inboxed me a couple of weeks ago about how you felt about that song and her singing, and so I just copied it and pasted it to her inbox. I let her see your exact words, and she was blown away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was awesome.
She's got quite a future. You have found some extraordinary talent. And Kelvin's daughter is 14, really?
Yeah. That was a mind-blowing experience, too, because Kelvin and I both wrote that song. Overdue is basically the whole song is mine, and the vamp at the end Kelvin came up with. So the little simple lyric in the song, I wrote that, and I sang it on a voice memo to Kelvin so he could get the idea to his daughter. And he's like, okay. You know, so some of the stuff I was saying, he was like, okay, now, we didn't quite understand what you were saying right here. So I had to make it clear because I'm not a singer. But I did the harmony parts and all of that stuff. I mean, I didn't do any of that. That's just the production mind of Kelvin Wooten. And so when he let me hear it, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, is this Kalia doing all of this? Her name is Kalia Wooten. And it blew me away. I was like, and I knew she could sing, but I didn't know she could sing like that. So that blows a lot of people away as well when they find out she's 14 years old.
Well, now, I'm not looking at the liner notes, and this is so funny. People are not going to understand this, but this is one of the coolest things. I have liner notes, but they're upside down on my computer.
I emailed them to you.
Yeah. So it's cool. I'm not even going to look because I want you to tell me the story. One of the other songs, and there are so many, I love them. Tell me the story of Angel because that blows my mind too.
That's a good story too. Another one of my longtime good friends, her name is Jill Rock Jones. And she, people in Atlanta that are listening, they know exactly who she is because we did a lot of amazing shows there throughout the years. She lives in Las Vegas now. And she, her music is rock-oriented, you know, not R&B based, but just, you know, it's always a shock to see a black girl up there doing rock music. And
I love
she's
it.
She's a great songwriter. Great songwriter, great singer, you know. Matter of fact, let me reiterate that. She's an incredible songwriter and an incredible singer. And so I always knew, I said, there's no way I can do a project and not have her involved. So I got this song, the track basically, the other producer that co-produced with me is a good friend of mine. These are some long relationships, like over 20 years. His name is Hart Ramsey. People know him as Pastor Hart Ramsey because he's a pastor of like three churches. You know, he's a very prominent pastor, but he's an incredible songwriter, keyboard player, and producer. And we've been making music for over 20 years. So we're in his studio in Dothan, Alabama, and he plays this track. And I was like, man, what is that? And he's like, oh, man, just a little something I'm working on. I said, do you have it designated for anybody? He's like, nope. I said, okay, you do now. So I came up with some parts on it, a little melody part, and we added my little flavor to it. But the track is solely, I should say, most of it is his creation. And so I had Jill Rock on the phone one day. I said, hey, here's a song that I think you might be interested in doing something on. And so I had her on the phone. I said, I'm going to email it to you, and you can listen to it, you know, while I'm on the phone because I want to know what you think. So I sent her the song, and when the song comes up, she starts playing it, and she gets quiet. I'm like, hey, are you there? She said, Sean, I need to call you back. I'm like, hey, what's going on? She said, I need to call you back. And she left, like, immediately. She heard something that quick lyrically.
Oh, my gosh.
She called me back in about an hour or two, and she said, okay, listen to this. I said, wait a minute. You heard lyrics that quick? Like, why can't I do that? But I mean, instantaneous. Time she heard the song, she immediately heard a lyric. So she wrote all of the lyrics to Angel. And Angel is basically a love song. It's a love song about, you know, people break up all the time and they don't stay together. It's about people. It's kind of like a modern day Al Green, Let's Stay Together. And that's what it is.
Yes. Oh,
but,
man.
Those lyrics were golden. That's all her doing there. And unfortunately, we couldn't get her to Dothan, Alabama or Atlanta. So she had to cut her vocals in Las Vegas, but we made it work.
Let me tell you, this is going to be an important song if folks have not heard this song, because it's like this hand that's a source of comfort. Like, you are not alone in this. And man, it just really moved me because it's you know, Sean, when you hear some people write songs, sometimes you have a physical reaction because the writing can be such that it can only be described as trite. And that means for me that some people think that they're saying something that's fresh and new, but it's been said 100,000,000,000 times before, and other people have said it better. But this song was so fresh in its outlook that I just stood back. Man.
Thank you, Trish. I'm kind of shocked that was on your face.
Oh, why would you be?
Well, I just kind of gauge what people are liking from talking to them about the CD, and they always say, man, I love so-and-so, I love so-and-so, I love so-and-so. I haven't heard many people say much about that song, so that's refreshing that you like it.
And you know what it is? I think that there was a combination of factors, but maybe it speaks to the woman inside of us who are female. I don't know. It's a nurturing kind of song. It's a big comfort, this song. And we'll stop talking about it. Here I am. I'm going to play four songs from this CD, if it's okay from you.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. Is that good? Is that okay?
That sounds great to me.
Well, I want people to buy it. So this is what I want them to do. I want them to buy it because there are so many different sides of Shawn Michael Ray and who you have chosen to have on this to partner with. And you said Little John before. I'm sure that Little John is tripping because he must see the similarity with working with George Duke and then working with you. Your arms are not just wide open. Your heart is wide open to what you want to hear. You know?
Oh, yeah. There are a couple of guys that blessed me with appearances on the CD that work with George Duke extensively. Little John, Robert Stan, one, and Phil Davis, the other. So, yeah, I think there's an extension of George's spirit through my CD. And that wasn't purposely done, but it just worked out that way.
And you had confirmation in the past couple of days.
Yeah.
Yes,
you.
Sir. Yes, sir. Well, this is Angel from Overdue. Shawn Michael Ray is with us, this amazing artist who was able to unleash these positive energies through his music. Whew, check this out on Hybrid Jazz.
For me.
Whew, I got chills. I don't want to hear about Gino Vannelli. That song said, "I'll honor this love till the day I die." Woo!
Absolutely. It speaks of the relationship that we all hope to be in one day if we're not in it already.
Seriously. Yeah. That's it right there. And, you know, it's just so amazing to me, without getting into a whole big political thing, but, you know, when you see two people who want to get married, no matter who they are or what their circumstances, the people that are supposed to be together are the people who – it's not a part of the plan. It's as though they have to get married. They have to be with this person and make it legal because it's that important to them. They can't – the one becomes the other person. It's just – to me, that's all.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
Man.
Yeah, well, trying to encourage people through the music, you know?
Well, look.
I mean,
man.
There's enough sad stuff going on in the world when you pop on the news, so I definitely don't want you to pop my CD in and feel depressed. So hopefully there's some encouraging stuff on there.
Well, you know what? You need to do this. I just had this idea because it was on TV on Sunday, on at the same time as the Grammys. The Bachelor, it was a live wedding, and usually this is the kind of subject matter where people go, "Oh, come on, Trish." But seriously, the two people who got married, Sean and Catherine, were very public in that when they got engaged on the show, they have not slept together. And they were saving it for their wedding night.
Ooh, that's a rarity.
Yes.
But that's awesome.
It really is. And the father of the groom, the groom was the Christian in this little duo, and then he persuaded this young woman who was pretty much a wild child, and now she has tamed down so much. Because, you know, still remained herself, but she's so enamored of this whole scenario. And they made it public. So when I heard that song from Overdue, I thought, oh, Sean and Catherine need to hear that song. Really. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny that you would say that. This is all like I was like, this is a deja vu moment. Jill, the vocalist on the song, and you know, the writer of the lyric, she told me on the phone one day, she said, "This is going to be a big wedding song." I was like, "Jill," I said, you're kidding me. I was like, "Who's going to play this at their wedding?" But no, she was very adamant about it. She felt like this was going to be like the ultimate wedding song. And I was like, when we were working on it, that thought never crossed my mind. I was just like, this song has a nice groove and a nice lyric. I'm thinking it's going to be a great song for you driving down the freeway in the summer with the roof popped. But, yeah, I never thought about it that way. But she said that from day one.
You tell her she is absolutely on the money because I thought about it, too. There's, like, nobody important in my life right now, but I thought, oh, my God, whoo, if I played that at a ceremony, people would be tripping. That is, she's on it. Man.
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about collaborations. That's been one of the things that I disliked about the state of music when we started using program this, program drums, program bass, and doing all these tracks and stuff where there weren't live musicians, that there wasn't live interaction. You know, the thing about that is when you bring another person in the room with you, even though your idea may be great, that person will make you think about something musically that you didn't ever think about previously. And
yes,
that's the great thing about collaborations. You know, even Kelvin Wooten and myself, or Hart Ramsey and myself, in the production chair on this thing, there were times when I thought I had the greatest idea that I brought to the table, and one of those guys would say, "No, what if we tried this?" I'm like, what? And sometimes I would be apprehensive. I was like, no, that's not what I – and Kelvin, he's funny. He would always tell me, he said, hey, man, I'm just saying let's try it. If you don't like it, we can change it, but let's try it, you know. So there were times, you know, my stubbornness would come up in the studio where I just – I knew I wanted it this way, but he was like, no, let's try it this way. And sometimes, or more often than not, I should say, it would be amazing. And I was like, okay.
You're a good partnership, you and Kelvin. You really are, because he knows enough of you to know that your ideas are great. He just wants to make sure that he embellishes the great ideas or
absolutely
flavors them so that the whole project can be that much more appealing, because, man, there is something for everybody in this CD. Honestly, to anybody who's listening, this is going to become one of your favorite things to play.
I hope so.
God, I don't say that too often, Sean.
I'm honored that you think about it that way, that it's made you feel that way. I mean, for a musician, that's the highest honor. Somebody plays your music. If you can get somebody to have multiple spins of your music, you know, and there have been a few people telling me, hey, I can't take it out, or I listen to this all the time, it's on repeat. You know, and you know that all music has a shelf life. So that
yes
won't always be their favorite thing. Something new will come up, and eventually yours will come out. But for that period of time, however long they're listening to it, I'm honored by that. You know, because there's some music that comes out that you put in, and you listen to one time, and you never return to it again because it doesn't move you. And so for people to say that they've listened to my music repeatedly, I'm honored by that. I mean, that's the greatest honor I could have in doing the project.
Well, you're going to be hearing a lot of that. I don't know what you know, concrete plans you have for 2014, but this is going to be one of those situations you will find where folks come up to you after a show and say, I heard Overdue, and it's my adventure. It's my staycation. If I can't go anywhere, I put that CD on, and it transports me to where I want to be. And that will mean everything for people who want to regain their peace. That's what I want to say.
Wow. Trish, you have such a way with words.
You know, it just is authentic saying that to you. And we've played.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Marley's Lullaby, which I love. We played that as the first song, and I absolutely love that. And we were going to close up with Love and Emotion, if that's okay.
Zeno Vanelli, yes.
See,
that was a song from Brother to Brother that always. It was one of those songs that always moved me. From day one, the first time I heard it, from the guitar riff coming in, Carlos Rios playing guitar on the original, and I was like, man, you know, I didn't want to do one of the Gino Vanelli songs that everybody would, you know, anticipate. So I picked one of my faves out of the archives and had a very, very special guest vocalist on that song. If there are any Incognito fans out there, a good friend of mine, Tony Mumrell, who sings with Incognito, absolutely murdered this vocal. And it was funny, we spoke about doing this during the time he wasn't touring with Incognito. He was singing as a background vocalist on Sade's latest tour a couple of years ago. And so I saw the show in Dallas, and we were backstage talking, and he's like, oh, man, absolutely. So time passes, and he's like, man, I haven't forgotten about you. I've just been busy. I promise you I'm going to get to it. And, you know, some more time passes, and he's like, oh, man, I got you. I still haven't forgotten about you. And some more time passes, he's like, hey, man, I'm going to get on it. And so he finally gets on it. I mean, this is, you know, probably a good almost a year passes. You know, and I was taking my time on the project, so there were no deadlines to be met or anything. So it was cool. When he finally sent me over the session and I heard the vocals, I was like, okay, this was worth the wait, because that boy can sing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is the modern day Donny Hathaway, in my opinion.
Oh, I mean, that's some high praise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he, and he has a solo record out as well too that the listeners may want to check out. I mean, he's incredible. I don't think he's gotten his due yet, but it's definitely coming. I mean, he is one of the premier vocalists of our time.
Man, that's really something to say. That pretty amazing. Well, before I play it, where can folks find you to get a hold of information, and where can they find the CD to buy?
I'm still working on getting this website thing happening. I'm a little tardy on that, but, you know, everybody knows I'm a Facebook and Twitter guy. You can always reach out to me there. The CD is everywhere digitally. It's on iTunes. It's in the Amazon MP3 store. If you stream music, you can do it on Spotify. You do it on Google Play Music, RDIO, all of those places. So that's pretty much where it's available.
Well, good. And when do you think that folks in the Mid-Atlantic can see you? Or do we have to come further south to see you? What is the story there, Sean?
Well, the funny thing, Chris, is the CD released on November 8th, and I've only done 2 shows ever. So this is a very new thing for me. I'm always joking with Eric Essex about this, too, because I told him, I said, man, I have new respect for you as a band leader. Because everything that comes with being a band leader, you know, being responsible for getting the band paid and sound and all that stuff, and everybody's tugging at you. I was like, wow, I didn't have to go through this when I was just a side man. But it's fun. So what I'm saying is I've only played 2 shows, and I'm hoping to play many more shows in the new year. We'll just have to see what doors open. I'm absolutely open to playing any and everywhere. So.
Well, that's good to hear. If you're open to that, then we need to get on the stick here and find out what we can find for you in Philly or Baltimore or D.C., because people need to see the kind of energy you bring to that base. You are something special, Sean Michael.
Oh, man, I'm so honored, Chris. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for taking the time. I didn't know if it was going to be an hour, but this is so cool.
This was fun.
It was. And how long are you going to be in California, you rascal? I mean,
return home February 4th.
Oh, well, look, we'll be halfway to spring by then.
I already checked the extended forecast. It's supposed to be 65 degrees that day, so I think I can work with that.
Man, you are getting some breaks.
I dodged the bullet, yeah.
Oh, son of a gun. Well, continued success to you. Anything I can do to raise the awareness of overdue, I will do. And I appreciate you. We'll talk again soon, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely, Trish. I appreciate everything. It's an honor to be on your show. Thank you for having me. And I hope the listeners dug it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've gotten some feedback so far in the chat room. Don't you worry about it.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Sean, again, thanks. And we'll make it a point, honestly. Let's stay in touch, because if you're really open to doing some touring away from your home base there, then there's some things that can be done.
Absolutely. I'm open to playing anywhere. I mean, so have faith, we'll travel.
I love it. All right. We're going to play Love and Emotion, so enjoy it. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you so very much, Trish. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Take care.
There's nowhere to run from the heat of the sun. There's nowhere to hide from your face.
is Hybrid Jazz.
We'll be right back. to be. You know what? satisfied. Oh, girl, you're the one for me. The way you make me feel, you really turn me on. You're knocking me over my feet. Yeah, baby girl,
while we take a few minutes in the chat room to fan ourselves. Towels will be passed around for those who feel the need to wipe their forehead or any place else. Mark Arthur Miller right there. Oh, Lord. That's a special little birthday song for our SoCal gal, Beej. It was just her birthday, and I really did have her in mind when I decided to play that song. Whoa, when she heard that the first time from Mark Arthur Miller's Soul Searching EP, she went, what? What? Sit down. Tell me about this man. Yes, it is certainly in this man's blood. We love Mark Arthur Miller so much. His dad, Ron Miller, was responsible for a bevy, first of all, of Stevie Wonder hits at Motown. I'm not just talking about songs. I'm talking about hits. And Ron and Mark were not necessarily joined at the hip throughout Mark's childhood, you see. They got together. Dad was there, Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles. At that particular point, Ron Miller took Mark and his sister out to Los Angeles, and they bonded that way. But there was a period of time where Mark did not really understand the breadth of where all this vocal ability came from until he got to know his dad, and then it made sense in a way. But it's just so freaky because here is this very handsome guy, looks like he should be on the cover of GQ, and his background was on the south side of Chicago, only white kid in a black neighborhood. And you can imagine the kind of responses he would get. And he kept all of that Chicago in him. He became proficient in tennis and acting when he moved out to Los Angeles, but his real calling was this voice. So hence Soul Searching was born, and we're going to have a fleshed-out repertoire of Mark Arthur Miller because we are told that the whole album is coming this year, so that's great. We just have to make sure we mention some personnel. One of my favorite people, yay, John Stewart on drums and percussion. Peter Smith here, very pivotal in the making of all of this. Nate Light, Earl the Pearl Alexander, Ryan Porter, Kamasi Washington, oh. Dante Winslow, James Gadsden, Jonathan Floor, Ryan Cross, Laura Mace, lending her vocals to that track and on several more. just real cool, Mark decided to jump on that, what would you call it, that very cautiously traveled path whereby you must be careful when you sing these songs. But he just sailed on and sang them brilliantly. Dock of the Bay, Tracks of My Tears, If I Could, People, My Girl and Just My Imagination together in a song, and the Michael Jackson track that you just heard, The Way You Make Me Feel. Happy birthday, Beach! I know you're still sweating. We heard Maceo Parker from Roots and Grooves with the WDR Big Band from West Germany, Don't You Know. That was a cool little track, was it not? To Be or Not to Be, especially for my buddy Robert Yacko, who's not in Southern California, where he usually is. He's in Maine doing a play. We used to do Shakespeare together. So I was thinking of his Hamlet and my Gertrude. Oh, that's another story entirely. Anyway, Maceo Parker is going to be 71 on Valentine's Day. Yes. He's at the Blue Note in New York through the 2nd of February. So if you have a way to honor a legend who has been with James Brown, this is a little aside. We want to get to more music quickly. But James Brown, back in the 60s, wanted to hire Melvin, Maceo's brother, who was great on drums. But Melvin said that the conditions were that James had to take Maceo. Don't you love it? So, is Maceo Parker, with his brilliant career, not only with James Brown, he went back and forth to him a few times, played with P-Funk, loved Ray Charles, and decided to do this double record set as a tribute to Ray Charles. So you're going to hear a lot of jamming on that piece of work. You really need to, if you want to feel just good, you get Shawn Michael Ray, first of all, you buy the Overdue CD, and then you get Maceo Parker, Roots and Grooves. You'll be set. All right, let's do this. I thought it would be really cool if we could play side by side a vocal track of The Way You Make Me Feel, and then do something by the amazing bassist, Iris Ornate, and play the same song from her No Restrictions CD. Would you like that? Man, this is a groove and a half. She is a bass goddess. Please keep your ears peeled to this heaven on Hybrid Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I've had choices, decisions to make. Should I go left? Should I go right? But I've lived with the course I have faced. I didn't always make the best selection. It took me to a darker place. Whenever a moment felt worse than the last, and a minute they felt like days. I then I remembered you care. Hear my voice, fill my heart. I don't know how much more I can say. Arms wide open, I stand before you. Cause I don't know what to do. Take my hand, here I am. Give me another chance. Please forgive me, I didn't trust you. I'm so sorry, I did it my way, but my own way got in the way. So please give me another chance. Oh, 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 oh. Living in this world isn't easy, but it's easy to satisfy desire to be. Happy, at least that's what I thought in my mind. I'm not perfect, only human. Sometimes everything I do goes wrong. Feels like I'm losing, losing my mind. Oh God, please tell me how long. I almost gave up, but then I remembered you.
I just appreciate that song so much. And I appreciate the gentleman who orchestrated this CD. Another one of those overdue stories, Kevin Jackson from Baltimore. Hometown hero for sure. Woo! Kevin is one of those wonders who plays all different kinds of guitars and bass, and he really does not know how significant and special he is. And then when you see that he is able to write a song like that, Another Chance from Stories in Color, the vocalist was Machiste Malloy, who just delivered that song in such a poignant way. Oh, my God, I just believe it. I feel like someone is pleading to God, please give me another chance, and thank you for the chances that you've given me. I've blown them. Kevin has been in that situation a time or two in his life. Kevin is able to do these multiple genres, and he's so respected in this town. You want to get yourself a seasoned veteran who knows how to play those stringed instruments. Get yourself Stories in Color. Let's see. It's musicbykevinjackson.com. That's where you need to go. Influenced by The Edge to Marcus Miller to Sting to Keith Urban, all of those influences, and much like Shawn Michael Ray, he's got some different paths. It's not, as was the case in so many instances and still is, for those folks who were of a particular bent. Not that there's anything wrong with that at all. Each project is so different one to another. But sometimes there is not the what other folks would call cohesion in a particular music project. There are different paths to take. Some feel R&B, some feel jazz for sure, some feel a pop blues vibe, whatever. These are the artists for you, Kevin Jackson and Shawn Michael Ray, because they feel so much. They do. Kyle Eastwood we heard from. Woohoo! Kyle! Man, so good to hear him. Actually, that's from a few years ago. He's had a couple of CDs, and we'll expect the new one dropping on, what, the 14th of March? It's going to be called The View From Here. What you heard is the title track from Now. Wasn't that smashing? Just so amazing. Daddy got him on the bass at the age of 4, and you know who Dad is. Now, here's the situation. Kyle, the last time I checked, was working with Dad, Clint, on a project. I'm not sure I'm supposed to talk about this, so I won't. But it's going to be for a film soundtrack of a stage production that was monu-freaking-mental. And Clint Eastwood is doing the music, and Kyle is helping him. So that's all I'm going to say. So Kyle is going to be doing his tour starting in March. He's going to be coming to Bethesda Blues and Jazz. Hopefully at the end of February, we'll have him here on Hybrid Jazz. It will be a kick. Not the first time I've interviewed Kyle. He was on Cool Jazz Conversations when I co-hosted that show a couple of years ago, and he was wonderful. I love him. We also heard from, and I'm going to speed this up because there's two more songs I want to get to. Oh, Iris Ornage, originally from Germany, who spent time studying in Switzerland and then London. So she has this different slant on the bass. Now based in New York, she came here in 2003. She's just so creative and so strong and so feeling bass. And this is a young career for her, and look at the people that she had on this. Oh, Sweet Mary Mother. Oh, my God. Helen Sung, Marcus Gilmore, Kurt Rosenwinkel, Mike Rodriguez on that trumpet. She does originals. She does covers. She's magnificent. And you know what one of the gifts that I've had in the past few weeks? She wrote to me and said, would you consider playing something from No Restrictions on your show? Iris, would you like to be on the show? Please. It would be an absolute honor for me to have you. She's incredible. The Way You Make Me Feel. We heard that song twice, one instrumentally via Iris and her Sanctified crew. Oh, and then via Mark Arthur Miller. I thought that would be a real kick. Now, look, I don't usually do this, but then again, we don't usually have the technical foul-ups anymore. And we had a big one in the first half hour of the show. And I did not get to hear a song that I want to hear. You probably heard it. Patrick Yandel from Soul Grind. I just love this take on human nature, another Michael Jackson song. And here's why. When Sean and Catherine got married on live TV on Sunday night, you know what Catherine wanted to hear on the way up the aisle? Human nature. Honestly, it was just surreal. But she's just a quirky gal anyway. I want to play this, and then we're going to hear something brand new that's not been heard before by our friend Vic Frierson, a song produced by Daoud Saeed, who does the intro and outro music for Hybrid Jazz. First, Patrick Yandel. Enjoy. Second time.
on earth together, it's you and I. God has made us fall in love, it's true. I've really found somebody like you. Will it stay, the love you feel for me? Will it stay? You will be by my side to see me through until my life is through. Well, in my mind, we can conquer the world. In love, you and I, you and I. In my life, I found someone I know will be here forever to see me through. But I found strength in you.
Produced, Vic Frierson sings Stevie Wonder's You and I, and Patrick Yandel right before. Thank you so much. We'll see you with Anita King, Geneva Renee, and Micah Chevalier on Thursday right here on Hybrid Jazz. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic. Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy. Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
lessons in the breeze that we walked among. Lying in the hay, games we used to play while the rounds were sung only yesterday. Just a dream ago, when the world was young. Last night, when we were young, love was a star, a song unsung. Life was so new, so real, so bright. Ages ago last night. Today the world is old. Years flew away and time grew cold. Where is that star that shone so bright? Ages ago last night. To think that spring had depended on merely this, a look, a kiss. To think that something so splendid could slip away in one little daybreak. So reminisce and recollect the sighs and the kisses, the arms that clung when we were young last
Thank you.
and the breeze that we walked among. Lying in the hay, games we used to play while the rounds were sung only yesterday. Just a dream ago, when the world was young. Last night, when we were young, love was a star, a song unsung. Life was so new, so real, so bright. Ages ago last night. Today the world is old. Years flew away and time grew cold. Where is that star that shone so bright?